I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI and WGBH in Boston. Hurricane Gustav is causing much commotion and concern in this country, but in India, they're used to flooding around this time of year. This is monsoon season. That means vital rain for farmers, but it also means massive destruction. And that's been the case in the state of Bihar. Bihar is in northern India. The good news is that around 400,000 people have been rescued from flooding there. The bad news is that several hundred thousand people remain stranded. The BBC's Sanjay Majumdar is in Bihar.
They're in remote villages which are completely surrounded by water. And it's 2 weeks now since the floods actually struck Bihar, which means it's 2 weeks that they've been living surrounded by water and increasingly running out of supplies such as food and clean drinking water. We know that several of them have been living on uncooked rice. We have reports that some of them have been eating leaves and plants in order to survive. And all they're doing is waiting for the rescue teams to reach them. The only way the rescuers can get to them is by boat. But they've been having a lot of trouble because of bad weather, because of strong currents. Things have improved slightly. They've managed to get some people out, but there are a lot still remaining.
There are a lot still remaining at this point, and we know that those who have been trying to help those who remain stranded are volunteers, individual citizens, non-governmental organizations as well, who showed up before the Indian government did. The Navy, from what we understand, has been moving in hundreds of boats now, but it's still a tough job. What kind of problems are they running into?
The basic problem has been one of management on the ground, and that's the reason this rescue and relief effort has gone so badly for the authorities. To give you an example, when there's so much water all around, all the roads are submerged, every single landmark has disappeared, which makes navigation very difficult. It's very difficult for the Navy and Army to actually locate villages which have pretty much disappeared off the map, and they've just been often floundering around looking for survivors without much local guidance. And that's been one of the major criticisms, that they haven't actually used local knowledge to try and find the people who are marooned. And it's the same attitude which has characterized the relief effort in the relief camps as well.
And have you visited some of the relief camps?
I have indeed. I've visited several relief camps. The situation is quite similar in most of them. Relief camp doesn't quite begin to describe it. These are very basic shelters. In most cases, all they have are bits of plastic sheet stretched over bamboo staves which have been hammered into the ground. They're sort of rudimentary tents which are meant to protect the people who are living inside from the rain. But the conditions otherwise are also abysmal. In many camps, there's one hand pump to be shared by about 1,000 people. And there are many, many people streaming in by the hour. Young people, very small children. There are a lot of children there. In fact, earlier today we had a report from one aid agency, Save the Children, which said every few days children who are sheltering on the highway are getting knocked over by speeding vehicles and actually dying. So that's another side effect of this immense tragedy. And in the camps themselves, there's complete chaos by way of organization. There's a lot of aid that's coming in, that's being brought in, as you say, by volunteers, by individuals. But no one seems quite to know what to do with it. There's nobody to tell them who to distribute it to, where it should be directed. So inevitably what's happened is that some people are getting all the aid, and perhaps the ones who are most vulnerable, the elderly, aren't yet to receive any.
Sanjay, as anyone here in the United States knows, the U.S. government had calamitous problems trying to aid people caught in Hurricane Katrina a few years ago. We think, of course, of India as an increasingly modernized state. Why is it that the government seems to have had such a haphazard response to this problem, particularly since monsoon season comes every year?
I think that's a question that everyone here is asking. They've got a lot of criticism from people in India because of their response, which has been delayed, which has been haphazard at best, and which has been completely directionless. And I think what everyone here is asking is why, as you say, when India is used to the monsoons, do they not have a proper disaster relief system, firstly, which can warn people that floodwaters are approaching their area so that they can leave in time before it's too late? And secondly, once a disaster strikes, why is it that the Indian government is unable to send in relief teams? Because clearly they have the mechanisms in place to do that. I mean, they have a very large army. They have a trained navy. They have the personnel to deal with it. It appears that they don't have a proper system to gauge what their response should be and then implement it accordingly.
That's the BBC's Sanjay Majumdar in the flood-affected Indian state of Bihar.